This morning, I'll be inviting you to reflect with me on some words from the gospel reading for today. So well read by Doug this morning, and it's the very last verse of the gospel reading. John 3:17. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. I dare say that our text for today often gets overlooked, as it immediately follows one of the most familiar verses of Scripture. And in fact, most of us listen to this text only when we listen to Stainer's Crucifixion, don't we? Because it's part and parcel of what we believe as Christians. But John 3:16 reminds us that because of God's great love, Jesus came to earth to lead us into abundant, everlasting life. Now, think about this. You're on an elevator, you're on the first floor, and you're going to the fifth floor, and someone in the elevator turns to you and said, "What is this Christianity thing all about?" Many persons have relied on John 3:16 to summarize what our Christian faith is all about, because it actually does tell us everything. And that is probably the reason why we quite often overlook what comes next. Because what comes next in John 3:17 explains God's purpose in sending his Son. It reveals a God who changes judgment and death into forgiveness and life. Indeed, God did not send his Son to condemn us, but rather to save us. And if we were to look at the Gospel of John, we would recognize that the theme of redemption and judgment is quite a prevailing theme throughout that gospel. And for those who like the details and who might actually go and look at this gospel again in new light, you'd see the theme of judgment and redemption in chapter 5, for instance, verse 22, chapter 8, for instance, verse 15, chapter 9, verse 39, chapter 12, verse 47, and we can go on and on. Those are just a few instances where the theme of redemption is proposed by John. And when we consider the context at that time, the prevailing belief about the coming of the Messiah was that the Messiah was coming to destroy the Gentile world. And several texts of the Old Testament alluded to this. But John is very clear in explaining that the purpose of the Messiah's mission was not to judge, but to save. Not only the children of Israel, but all who believe and request forgiveness of our sins. And the gospel reading for today emphasizes that Jesus' earthly ministry is about new life, not judgment. It is a clear signal about God's purpose in sending his Son. Now, if we were to look closely at the narrative, we would recognize that it's actually a conversation between Jesus and the inquisitive Pharisee called Nicodemus. And Nicodemus visits Jesus by night to speak to him about some of the ideas that had upset the religious leaders at that time. Now, bearing in mind that the Pharisees were a group of Jews who were very careful in keeping the letter of the law and often opposed Jesus throughout his ministry, Jesus, on the other hand, often denounced them for their legalism and their lack of compassion. And talking about Pharisees, another Pharisee with whom many of us as Christians are quite familiar, is Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. And you recall from Scripture Paul's sudden conversion on the road to Damascus. And Paul is generally regarded as the one who took the gospel to many of the surrounding regions, and many consider Paul to be the great evangelist. But getting back to our text for today, the Pharisee who appears in today's gospel was a member of the ruling body of the Jews. And John reports that Nicodemus came to speak with Jesus under the cover of darkness. Now, some have speculated that Nicodemus was afraid or probably ashamed to visit Jesus in broad daylight, so he made a nighttime visit. This may very well be the case, but when we look at the text does not give a reason for the timing of Nicodemus's visit. What is important, however, is that he came to Jesus as an inquirer. He came to Jesus to question Jesus, perhaps to clarify certain aspects of Jesus' teaching for himself. Now, for those of us who might believe in the conspiracy theory, one might argue that it would have been advantageous for Nicodemus to find out a little about the teachers and other public figures who might be misleading the people. Because remember that Nicodemus was a member of the Jewish ruling class. But I would propose that Nicodemus's curiosity, his inquiring nature, his lack of certainty about what Jesus was preaching and teaching, drew him to a conversation with the Master. And from the dialogue in today's reading, Nicodemus asked a clear question. And the question goes something like this, from John chapter 3 and verse 4. How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? And of course, Jesus had just explained about being born again. And Nicodemus was certainly curious about Jesus and his teachings, and he wanted to understand exactly what Jesus was talking about. So my friends, what can we deduce from what we've about Nicodemus, from what we've read so far? We are aware that he was a member of the ruling council. We are aware that he was drawn by the appeal and the miracles of Jesus. And we've deduced that he was probably the only sympathizer from among the religious leaders, because we know that, in fact, there had been those exchanges between the religious leaders and Jesus. But Nicodemus took some risks, and he took some risks in order to draw closer to Christ. So, people of St. George and Young, how about you? How about me? What are we willing to risk in our service to God and to each other? Yes, I believe that we can take some risks like Nicodemus to draw closer to Christ, can't we? Because from what Scripture tells us about Nicodemus, we are reminded that God can convert even those that we consider unreachable. God can convert those even who are considered too far gone. We are reminded that God is a patient God, and God is a persistent God. And most importantly, we are reminded that if we make ourselves available for God's service, God can use each and every one of us. And God has used people over the years to do his work. Today, the church commemorates the life and ministry of Saint Gregory. Saint Gregory was an early saint of the church, and he was elected pope in the 6th century. Saint Gregory's ministry was quite extensive, but bear with me as I mention three important aspects of Gregory's ministry which have had a lasting impact. First of all, just to remind us that Gregory was one of the early leaders of the church who established a lectionary, a set of readings and prayers to relate to the readings. And that is part of our Christian or Anglican tradition, isn't it? That we have a lectionary, we're all across the communion pretty much, we're all in common prayer, we're all reading the same and saying the same prayers. And that is quite a legacy for the church. And if you went to another church in the diocese, if you're on vacation and you go elsewhere, and quite often too, if you couldn't find an Anglican church and you went to a Roman Catholic church, in most cases, in many cases, we're having the same lectionary. So that is very important because we use a lectionary up to today. Secondly, St. Gregory established a school to train church musicians. And that's very important. And from all of that legacy, we have the Gregorian chant that is named in his honor. And many of us are probably sitting here and wondering, what is this Gregorian chant all about? And so I've asked our music director, Michael, just to remind us of some Gregorian chant that we're very familiar with. So Michael, let's hear it. Part of our rich heritage as a church and part of the Christian tradition. And thirdly, and I will not go on and on about Gregory, just three quick points. He sent missionaries to serve the Anglo-Saxons who had invaded England. And that is part of the foundation of our Anglican tradition. And so, my sisters and brothers in Christ, we often encounter Christ through the lives of the saints, living and dead, as they reveal Jesus to us. But to get back to the scripture reading for today, we are reminded that Jesus became incarnate not to condemn the world, but to save his people, to suffer death, to give us life. We are also reminded that God in the flesh is about new life, not judgment. And just as Nicodemus was challenged to a new life, we too are challenged to a new life each and every day. Nicodemus became a changed man through his encounter with Christ. And we too can be transformed by God's saving grace in whatever way we experience the living Christ. Our vocation is to serve Christ. And we have the opportunity this Lent to reconsider what the Lord requires of us. And so, like Nicodemus, we are encouraged to question. We are encouraged to learn more about our Lord and Savior and what this Christian life is all about. We must dig deep and we must answer the tough questions to remove any doubts from our minds. For we acknowledge that we are all showered with gifts of mercy when we look at ourselves from God's perspective. And finally, to show his love, Jesus died for us. To show our love, can we live for him? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn us, but rather to save us. My sisters and brothers in Christ, that's great news. That's great news. These thoughts I share with you in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the people of God will say, Amen.